I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm sure you listened to last week's episode, and if you didn't, I can't blame you, because let's be real, it was just Jared and Ashley on the show, and I'm just kidding. We love Jared and Ashley. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, go back and listen to that episode. But what Jared and I did is we've kind of pulled a switcheroo of hosts of sorts. So Jared had his wife Ashley co-host with him last week, and this week, for the first time in Help, I Suck at Dating history, I have my wonderful girlfriend Kaylin co-hosting with me. Not an interview. She's not going to just be answering questions, putting on her best face, putting her best foot forward. She's literally going to be co-hosting this week's episode with yours truly. Kaylin, if you would not mind saying hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone. I'm super excited to be co-hosting. I didn't know I was doing this up until, well, like a day ago.
Yeah, a little bit of a backstory. So I guess honesty is really what we value most here on Help, I Suck at Dating. The reason that they hosted last week's episode is because one of my very good friends, one of my best friends, just turned 30 on that Friday of last week, which we typically record on. And he is an obsessive golfer, and so what we did was for his 30th, we surprised him with a round of golf at his favorite golf course, very far away from our apartments in Los Angeles. And I overextended myself, as I often do, and I was not able to make our recording time for that. And so our consolation was having Jared and Ashley host last week's episode, and my way of remedying the situation, I guess you could say, is having Kaylin so graciously co-host this week with me, because our fans of Help, I Suck at Dating have been with us for a long time. If you haven't been with us for a long time, welcome, and thank you for joining us now. But it's not often that I am so willing to have Kaylin on our podcast. And if you listened to 2 weeks ago when we had Kaylin interviewed by Jared, you kind of get a little bit understanding as to why I'm so hesitant. We just kind of like to keep our relationship somewhat private. We like to share the things we want to share. We don't like to be consistently like out in the media, which is just such a silly thing to say. It's like, if we wanted to be in the media, would we even be allowed to be in the media? I don't know. But the point is, we just kind of
stay away. We protect our relationship.
Yeah, we stay away from that. But we're not protecting it anymore. In fact, we are throwing our relationship into the wolves. Into the fryer, and we are now co-hosting podcasts together. We go from an interview, we took a week off, and now we are co-hosting it together. This relationship is progressing far too quickly for the likes of anyone involved.
It's been a year and a half.
Yes, it's been a year and a half. And it's funny because when I told Kaylin I just told her yesterday, I said, hey, by the way, you're going to have to co-host my podcast with me tomorrow. And she was obviously like, yes, that's perfectly fine. And then she came to me like 20 minutes later and she goes, hey, since I'm co-hosting your podcast with you tomorrow, you're going to have to be on my YouTube video and answer a Q&A with me, because so many people asked me to host a Q&A involving you. And typically what I would say is, no, not into it. Keep me out of your YouTube videos as I keep you out of my podcast. But we're turning over new leaves. I think we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for content here. And we're utilizing our last resorts, which is each other. So try as we might, we will stay as relevant as we possibly can.
No. That's awful.
We've got a great episode for you guys today. Kaylin, tell them what kind of episode we have in store for them. You probably don't know because you haven't read it. You're not on the emails that I receive. We got a great episode. It's going to be Becky, Mark, Easton are all part of it. Jared is taking the week off, as we kind of alluded to earlier. We've got some questions that some of our listeners have submitted. Thank you very much. What else do we have? We have some great headlines, some topical headlines we want to talk about. We want to talk a little bit about marriage and what brings us here together. So you're not going to want to miss any of that stuff. But before we jump into, I guess, any of that, I want to bring Becky in if she's out there somewhere. And maybe we can just have a little convo about some of the things that our listeners out there are interested in hearing about. Becky, what do you think?
Yeah, we have a long list of questions for you guys and some headlines that we can go through.
Well, and before, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, yeah, as I always go off on these tangential thoughts. I do want to say, as we've talked about on this podcast before, Becky had brought in DeMario from, I think it was Ohio, or was it Michigan?
Michigan,
somewhere in the Midwest. I was close. And Caitlin and I really wanted to go on a double date with you guys, as we had talked about, but unfortunately it wasn't the case. But maybe one of these days we can get DeMario onto the podcast and we can all virtually double date.
Definitely. I would love that, and I'm sure he would as well.
Anyways, what do you want to talk about, Becky?
So, one second, guys.
Can I share something? Becky, will you go ahead and
you just mute it.
Mm-hmm. Would you just mute your computer real quick so there is no audio coming out of it? So yep. I want to, and just give me a thumbs up if I'm allowed to share this. That's okay, right? Yes. Okay, cool. I'm just going to go ahead and say this real quick. Becky messaged the group privately and said her dad is sitting next to her and does not know that her and DeMario have gone on a date. And so to Becky's father, if you're listening to this, I apologize. And to anyone that might be speaking about future relationships, maybe pull the foot out of your mouth and just kind of keep it to yourself until after the fact. Anyways, I'm sorry, Becky, back to you.
Sweet. And then back to you guys. Okay, let's get rolling. First, what is your biggest turn off that each other does?
Oh, easy. My biggest pet peeve in the whole world, I don't know why, but when people chew with their mouth open, it triggers this rage inside of me. So Dean likes to chomp and then chew with his mouth closed. And so I'm like, I can hear you chewing from the other room. And he's like, you can't even hear me. You're in the other room.
She's crazy. We literally are in opposite rooms of each other. And I'm like eating chips in the living room. And she like yells across, stop chewing. And I, in my opinion,
it's loud.
In my experience, I'm pretty like polite when it comes to chewing. I keep my mouth closed. But my like initial first two bites are pretty, I guess, pretty mm-hmm. aggressive. Mm-hmm. But is that a turnoff or is that a pet peeve?
Pet peeve.
So what's a turnoff? That was the question.
Turnoff would be sometimes it's just a little smelly.
Yeah. That's not a turnoff though.
Just how like that, that one day that you got really smelly.
Do you want to know what's yeah. I'm not denying that I get a little smelly. I've played golf today with Wells, and on like the sixth hole, we're sharing a golf cart together, and we're driving to our balls that we had just hit, and he looks at me and he goes, "Hey, when was the last time you bathed yourself?"
And
it's been about I would say 5 days since my last shower. Which it's funny because I played golf with Wells 5 days ago, and I told him that the day that I played with him last was the last time that I showered. I get it. Yes, I know. I'm a busy guy, okay? I don't have time for things like showers or soap, whatever. What is my biggest...
You know you're busy because you can't make it on time.
I'm a busy guy, you guys. I've got a lot of the business ventures I'm working on. A lot of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, my biggest turnoff... what do you think my biggest turnoff is?
I'm perfect. Nothing.
What is my biggest turnoff? do you have any?
I'm a little clingy.
Yeah, maybe clinginess, I guess, would say. But I kind of like the clinginess a little bit. It's like kind of cute. I would say my biggest turnoff is I know what it is. I know exactly what it is, and you should know what it is too. My biggest turnoff is lip gloss or chapstick.
Oh.
I freaking hate chapstick. And whenever Caitlin puts chapstick on to moisturize her dry lips and she like leans in for a kiss, I say, get the heck away from me and keep your oily lips off of mine. So that's my biggest thing. Like whenever she does that, that's the thing where I'm like, absolutely not, stay away from me. I don't know why. I hate oily lips. I hate oily skin. It's just, that's my turn off.
wait, can I ask one question really quick? If chapstick is a turn off, then are dry chapped lips a turn on?
I don't think it's one extreme to the next. It's kind of more of just like a happy happy middle ground. There have been times where, like, for instance, first thing that comes to mind is last year I did this big climbing trip with my buddy, and we like ran out of water for the last half of it, and so my lips were super chapped. And I remember like kissing her, and I was like, well, this sucks just as much as kissing you with chapstick on. So I'm gonna say no, it's absolutely not the case. It's just like there's got to be a happy medium somewhere, you know?
Wow.
Right. Yeah. I also love the dynamic of when you ask a couple what their biggest turnoff is about each other. You ask the woman, she's like, oh, where do I begin? He smells bad, he chews with his mouth open, bop, 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 bop. But you ask the guy, he's like, well, honey, what do you think it is? Because what am I allowed to say here? What would be acceptable for me to say? And he says lip gloss, which is nothing about her as a person.
Well,
she's got a laundry list.
No, it's not a laundry list.
And by the way, it'd be the same with me and my wife.
100%. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say what when I say what after you say something.
Oh, yep. Okay. That's also another good one. This is more of a pet peeve, though, than a turn off. But I guess I think that we can all be turned on and off to people of, you know, whoever it is. So whenever I say something, and again, I speak quickly sometimes, I mumble sometimes. I'm not saying that I'm completely absolved of fault here. But whenever someone like clearly understands what you say and they still say what? Oh God, it drives me absolutely bonkers. I lose my mind. And what I've started doing, especially in old age, is I've stopped repeating myself and I've stopped retelling them what I said. And I like just pause for a good 5 to 10 seconds. And I would say 9 times out of 10, they end up answering the thing that I said anyways, because it just takes them a little bit longer to, and I think I've actually talked about this on the podcast before, but it just takes them a little bit longer to piece together in their head what I said, that they were asking what I said, and they were just like trying to stall for time. But it's one of my biggest pet peeves of all time, if not my biggest.
Okay, next question. Do you think it's important to never go to bed angry?
Yes, I do. I think we do a good job of, well, he does a really good job. If I'm mad at him, he'll get me out of whatever funk I'm in. He's a little bit harder when he's angry to get out of it.
Yeah, well, I think that as individuals, we require different things to get us out of our anger. Not to speak for her, but I'm going to anyway, she requires a little bit of extra attention and like some goofiness and some laughter. And I just require some like solitude and quietness. And so with those two things considered, she like, I don't say I ever go to bed angry, because I don't really often get angry except for when she asks me what after everything that I say, or when she wears lip gloss. And then don't get me wrong, when she does those two things together, I go off the free. I gotta leave for weeks at a time. I don't think that we ever really go to bed angry because, well, A, I don't really think we ever really get angry at each other. Like there are stupid little things that we obviously like get annoyed with each other about, but, no, we don't really go to bed angry. So I don't think it hasn't applied to our relationship. So it's kind of hard for us to really make a definitive stance one way or the other.
So Ashley and Jared were asked this question as well. Does a significant other's number matter to you? And number as in how many people they've slept with.
Yeah, you want to know what's funny is I saw this on the Help I Suck at Dating Instagram page, and I saw them answer that question on video, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting question to talk about. And I honestly don't think it's something that Kaylin and I have ever discussed.
Yeah, for me, I don't like to like think about his past relationships or anything prior to our relationship. So it's like, that was before me, I don't care, I don't need to know kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a thankfully for me, that's the way that she looks at it. I agree. I think that anything that happens before the significant other was in the picture, it's kind of like moot and irrelevant. And it's like, you could spend time thinking about it and dwelling on it, but you're just going to make yourself angry for literally no reason at all, because it's like, what are you supposed to do about someone doing things before they ever possibly knew you? And there's funny, it's funny too, because sometimes this is, it doesn't happen really much anymore, but a long time ago when we first started dating, there were things where I was like disappointed about, or like just like upset to hear, you know what I mean, about like Kaylin's dating history. And I was like, well, dude, if you were to flip it around and put me in the same position that I'm putting her in, I would look 20 times worse. So like, I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and like be upset about something that she might or might not have done while I have done the same thing, if not worse, 10 times over. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think that you should ever really hold your significant other accountable for the things that they did before they knew the person that they're dating. And I think that kind of, that's kind of like a unanimous across the board, like very few exceptions I think could really apply to that situation.
Okay.
What did Becky, out of question or out of curiosity, what did Ashley and Jared say to that?
I think they said no. I think it doesn't matter. They Ashley said that she wanted to know like a ballpark. And then she brought up how one of her friends said that Jared's number was different than what Jared shared.
Oh no.
Yes. So that turned into a whole conversation as well.
Dang.
Next question. Is cheating a deal breaker, and do you believe once a cheater, always a cheater?
Yes, cheating is a deal breaker, but no, I think people can cheat in past relationships and learn from that and then not be a cheater. We've talked about this.
Yeah, I mean, I could freaking hope that once a cheater, always a cheater can't be true, because if that were the case, then I guess I would be labeled a cheater for the rest of my life, which I don't personally think that I am. Personally, from personal experience, obviously that's all we can all draw from. It's no secret that I've admitted to having cheated on ex-girlfriends. I think the worst thing for someone that's been an idiot like I have is to like try to lie about it or pretend like it never happened, because if you do that, that's proof that you're not learning from those mistakes and growing from those mistakes. And if that's the case, then I think that you're destined to cheat again. And that took me a long time to figure out too. I would say up until I was like 26 or 27, I was like, I would deny the fact that I ever like cheated on a girlfriend ever. And then once I was able to like kind of admit that and be honest, not only with other people, but also with myself, that kind of helped me grow as not only just an individual, but also as a partner. And it's funny too, because even just the other day, I like sometimes have these like, these stupid dreams. And this other day, like I had a dream and I was like, I woke up and Kaylin and I were sitting in the kitchen drinking our coffee and eating cereal or whatever. And I was like, Kaylin, like I have to tell you something. I had a dream last night that I cheated on you. And she was like so upset, like, you cheated on me in your dream last night. And I said, well, no.
I wasn't upset. It was joking.
It was more of like inquisitive. Like, oh, you cheated on me in your dream last night. And I was like, well, no, I didn't cheat on you in my dream. I was living my life as I normally would, but in my dream, I had cheated on you in the past, and I didn't experience it in the dream, but like it was like this weird situation. And she was like, well, you didn't cheat on... It's just like weird. But the point is, I know that like it might have actually caused more damage than not had I shared it. But I think just being open and honest about that type of stuff is the most important thing. So once a cheater, always a cheater, in my opinion, isn't the case. But cheating also, in my opinion, is a deal breaker. Like if I think either of us were to cheat on each other, I don't think either of us would really consider giving the other person the benefit of the doubt. Right?
Agreed. Yeah. So don't cheat.
Yeah. Well, you better not cheat on me either. Yeah. I don't know. It's so funny too, because as I've gotten older, I'm 29 now. It's like my priorities have shifted so greatly. Like back when I've cheated on two girlfriends in my life. And I think it's because back when I did those, I think I was 19 the first time and 23 the second time. And like my interests and my priorities when I was 19 and 23 were basically just like party and get drunk and hang out with friends. And when those are your interests and priorities, it's like, well, obviously you're going to make stupid mistakes, because it's like, you're living a freaking hollow life and you're not like getting any value out of those things. And so as a 29-year-old that I am now, I think that my priorities have changed to involve those things quite a bit less. And that just maybe comes with time and experience. But I don't know. I could be wrong.
What do you think about the argument that men and women cheat for different reasons, and that if men cheat, they're just giving into their base instincts, and if women cheat, it's because they're not getting what they need out of the relationship? So if Dean were to cheat, well, he's just a scumbag who gave in. But if Kaylin cheats, it's because she needs something from Dean that she's not getting. I know that means that either way, it's the guy's fault. But I think also women cheat for different reasons than men do. I think that is fair to say.
I mean, my first response to that is, yeah, it's an unfortunate double standard that men are kind of like, it's a lose-lose for us. We're either the dogs that wanted to do something with someone else, or were the person that wasn't giving our partner what they needed to, and so because of that, they kind of have a pass to go to something else. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, it is kind of unfortunate, but that is usually how it is, right? Like, a woman doesn't cheat typically. I'm not saying, I don't know, but it's kind of sexist.
I just think I agree. I think it's... I don't know. What do you think,
Mark? Women are more monogamous by nature.
Yeah, and we like the idea of love, and we like to be in love, and if our partner's not giving us that, then I could see someone cheating, I guess. I don't know.
What do you think, Mark?
I think that there are women who cheat for the same base reasons as a man would cheat. I guess it's so circumstantial, but I think in general, if there is infidelity in a relationship, it usually goes back to the guy.
Mm-hmm. I would say if we were to go back in history and calculate the cause of infidelity, I mean, it's hard to argue that it would probably be like 90% in favor of the men that were the reason for it, right?
I would agree with that.
But I think that times are changing. You know, evolution is a slow process. And I want to say that there has been a moment in my life where I've been cheated on. But again, it's kind of looking through it in rose-colored glasses where it's like, yeah, I think that I was giving everything that I could have been giving to the partner, but maybe that they thought they needed something else and they went out and found it with another guy. I don't know. I just think that there are so many variables that can come into play on that case. But I do agree that there are like men have these sexual urges that are just, I guess, maybe easier to act on. And when a woman, it's like almost harder to even like say that a woman cheats on a man, because I guess maybe that's why, because it's like you just don't really think about it or hear about it quite as often.
Something my wife has said to me a number of times was, she's like, if I found out you had sex with somebody else, but you didn't, like it was just sex, I wouldn't care. But if I found out you were like, you had like a deep emotional connection with somebody and there was no sex, like that would be like devastating to me. And I've always thought like, this sounds like a trap.
Yeah. It's like, it's the character from Star Wars. It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's so funny too, because one of my really good friends who's a girl has been in a relationship for a long time as well. And she said the same thing to her boyfriend of like 9 years. She was like, well, if you want to like go out and hook up with girls purely on like a sexual basis, that's fine. But like, if you're like texting them and talking to them on a regular basis and like investing in them emotionally, then that's not okay. And I heard that story too. And it's like, I think in our heads, we're so ingrained to think that like any type of cheating, whether it's physical or emotional, is not cool whatsoever. I just think it really boils down to what the partner says is okay and what they're comfortable with. Because it's like, everyone's different, obviously. Every relationship is different. I just think that monogamy is obviously such a staple of every solid relationship, but that's not the only right way to have a relationship whatsoever. I think there's a million different ways too. So that's really interesting that your wife said that, Easton. I mean, listen, I kind of agree with her, to be honest, but it's like one of those things where it's like you're almost too scared to act on it. I'm not saying that you would ever, but
I think she said it because she has confidence that she's the only woman on the planet that would willingly have sex with me. So she's like,
what did you post on your Instagram stories today? Because you look like someone or something like that.
Oh,
and she texted you and said you've never been more attractive or something like that.
Tori Spelling from 90210 told me that I looked cute, and she posted it and said she felt proud of me.
Honestly, very impressive.
It was a big moment for me.
So, I mean, let's be honest. She might not be as safe as she thinks she is. If Tori Spelling is calling you cute, I don't know.
I mean, she also said I was quite handsome. So, you know, watch out, Allison.
Did she see your head to toe? Were you wearing Crocs at the time or no?
No, actually, she just saw this exact frame. She said, Easton, okay, have you done something with your beard? And she was happy about my haircut.
Yeah, you shaved it off. You got the sexy 5 o'clock shadow now.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, I think it's sexy, but...
Well, thank you, Dean. There's two.
Yeah. It doesn't carry the same weight as Tori Spelling, but still.
Okay, so if you two were on dating apps, what would be your pickup line for messaging someone?
Ooh, I don't know. You go first.
No, you go first.
So, like, your opening line, Becky? This is, like, the icebreaker line.
Yep, like, you see someone, you swipe right, they match you, and you're, like, ready to slide in. What's that first message?
Okay. If I saw Dean on a dating app...
No, not me, just, like, another guy. Or was it if we saw each other?
It could be whatever.
Sure, yeah, so you saw me...
So if I saw you on a dating app, and I kind of did this on Instagram, I would see his travels and his cool lifestyle, and so I would kind of, like... slide in there and relate it back to me somehow, which is what I did on Instagram. I was like, oh, you're traveling to Japan, Singapore, Thailand. That's literally the trip I just did. And that was like my segue in to DMing him.
Yeah, and it didn't work because obviously I blew her off for coffee the first couple of times. I think my it's funny because it's like it actually perfectly applies, is if I were on a dating app, I would A, never send the first message because Jets...
What?
As a individual that used to be on dating apps, that was always like kind of like my thing. I would never send the first message because I was a boy, and I would probably be pretty flaky. It would be hard to meet up with me, but like we could carry on conversations for a while. Dating apps are hard because it's like, back when I was on dating apps a long, long time ago, I was like, as much fun as I had on the dating apps, it was like very difficult for me to like become interested enough in someone that I met on a dating app to like progress the conversation, to move from the app to texting to meeting up for a date and then carrying it on from there. So there was like so many great filters that were along the way that they were kind of more of just like a time killer, you know what I mean? Like you're bored, you're sitting on the toilet and you're just like trying to kill some time and fantasy football is not going on, and so I would just like jump on Bumble. So yeah, not the best practice, but
so you wouldn't have a pickup line, you'd just be you.
No pickup lines. I think that I would maybe like once or twice I would drop some like stupid cheesy dad jokes, but nothing substantial.
This listener asked, if a guy ghosts you after 4 dates but then comes back 3 months later, is he actually interested?
No,
definitely not.
Go for it. Well, how am I?
I mean, especially if it's now and it's COVID, he's like, oh, shoot, I'm coming back because I'm bored. But yeah, if he ghosted you after 4 dates, he clearly wasn't interested. And now he's coming back just because of boredom, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that is very, very true. It's like, look, if someone wants you in their life, they're going to make time for you. And obviously this person didn't make time for you for 3 months and something changed drastically. It's not like he's like, it's not like there was like some unspoken bond that like drew him back to you. It was, he probably finished whatever he was doing that kind of kept him from you in the first place. And he's like going back and retracing his steps and seeing what like low hanging fruit he has available to him. And so I would not put any stock whatsoever into that because it sounds troublesome to say the least.
Okay, time to spice it up.
Yeah, spice it up for us, Beck.
Where's the most wild place you've had sex?
Whoa, that's too much spice.
Is your dad still in the room?
Sure is.
That is too much spice.
I think he's asleep.
Let's talk more about DeMario.
And back to you, Dean and Kaylee.
Yeah. We're going to plead the fifth, I think, on the wildest place we've had sex.
That sounds good.
Not with each other.
I think I would rather us talk about the wildest place we've had sex than the wildest place either of us had sex with someone else. So we're going to go ahead and if we plead the fifth on the first one, we're going to plead the 50th on the second one. Is that a fair answer?
Well, so much for spicing it up.
Well, we can assume that you've done it in a car, right? Or a van?
Well, I mean, listen, okay, well, we're going to slowly creep ourselves into this conversation.
I mean, yes, we're boiling the frog here, you know?
For all we know and for all we want you guys to know, Kaylin and I have never even had sex. So we're going to go ahead and keep that fifth pleading turned all the way up. So, yep, sorry, next question. Sorry, Becky, what else you got for us?
Okay. Is it a red flag if someone says they love you after week two?
Oh, well, let's go ahead and ask me that question because...
It was not week two. Shut up.
It was week one and a half.
Shut up.
What do you think?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, after 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of like... Yeah, well, okay. So Dean, we talked about this like a couple weeks ago. He was like, when you know you love me, just wait a couple months just to make sure. And so I didn't tell him until like 6 months in, 8 months in.
Yeah.
I think you should wait. I think there's no reason to rush that, like saying that.
I think 2 weeks is way too premature, especially in today's day and age. It's such always so interesting to answer these questions because I guarantee like Mark or Easton are going to come back and be like, well, I told my wife I loved her after the first date and we've been married for 19 years. So yes, yeah, so obviously this all goes with a grain of salt. In my opinion and in my experience, whenever I have felt those feelings and then expressed those feelings early on within 2 weeks to 4 weeks to 8 weeks, whatever, is I didn't know what the heck I was saying. I was basically speaking based purely on like the situation and like the environment. And then when I like removed myself from that environment, I realized how like stupid I was. And so I think it's like a very impulsive thing to say. I think it's a very like emotional thing to say, obviously. But I think 2 weeks is far too soon because it's like, what the heck are you supposed to know about someone in 2 weeks? You don't really know anyone in 2 weeks, right? What do you guys think? Mark, Easton, how long did it take you guys to say you love your wives?
I would say a couple of months. And I think if you feel that in the first 2 weeks, I think it's fine. Your emotions aren't wrong, but I think you want to give it a little bit just because you're either going to scare them away or you're going to regret it because maybe you weren't feeling what you thought you were feeling.
Okay, that's fair. Easton?
I mean, yeah, I think mine was like 6 months. I don't remember, but
you guys had more of an interesting genesis because you guys were friends for a long time.
Very long time, yes. And when we said it, it was very casual, and it was just like we didn't realize we even said it. It was just like it was almost by accident. But
yeah.
But I also think that if like you hit month three and then you just say it, I think it would feel very insincere that like you were waiting for a very specific date. Like, I'm waiting for this much time to pass to say it. So it's all about how you feel. That's all.
Yeah, that's very fair. I think I've been pressured in the past to say that because I felt like it was the right time to say it. And then looking back later on, I like regretted saying it just because I felt like this is like a testament to the time that we spent together. But in reality, it was more of like a time allotment rather than a feeling. And I regretted it later on. Becky, question for you, and you can just say yes or no to this, is have you ever said that to anyone that you've been dating in recent time?
No.
Okay, cool. Next question.
I have updates next time for you.
Maybe when your father's not sitting right next to you.
Yep, sweating. Dean, you've been playing tennis. Do you think that's a good first date during COVID? Have you guys done that together?
Well, for the record, I have not been playing tennis. I have played tennis, but Kaylin is the tennis player in the relationship. The reason I play tennis is because of her. I think it's a great first date. I think especially during the COVID era that we're in now, it's like you guys are, you know what, 40, I don't know how long the tennis court is, you know, I would say 40 feet apart from each other. You get to like, you're still like within conversation distance. Like you're not yelling. You can still talk. You get to see like, this is going to sound kind of weird, but you kind of get to see how the other person sweats, which is a weird thing to say, but it's like, it kind of, dictates a lot about how they're going to be as a person. You get to see how competitive they are and like how angry they get when they lose or win or whatever it is. So I think it's a great first date. It's something that I never would have really considered, being a first date up until Kaylin and I had just started playing, but I think it'd be it's a pretty smart, safe first date to take. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I go almost every day, and my friend Tori and I that I go with, we actually watched someone go on their first date like 2 days ago. And then it ended up like they weren't into each other, but they were both real estate agents, so they were able to like connect job-wise. But it was interesting to kind of watch their dynamic and see how it went. But I think it'd be a good date. It'd be fun.
Yeah. I think, it's funny too. It's because she's been playing a lot of tennis and I've been playing a lot of golf, and we've just like kind of turned into like this stupid little country club couple as of late. Tennis, golf, anything that kind of like gets you out, gets you active, I think is always a good first date. But yeah, tennis especially, because like we said, it's like COVID safe. It's very easy to access. All you need is a racket and a tennis ball, and basically all the tennis courts are free. So it's like, why not?
Yeah.
Kaylin, this one's for you. Last time we had you on, you said Connor didn't really have a chance with you. Can you elaborate?
Yes. Dean and I, like, we had a very strong connection. There was like so much passion. We could connect. And he left, and I was like, I was waiting for Connor to come down, but it wasn't what I expected it to be. And also the relationship Dean and I had wasn't what I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be fun and casual, and then we actually had something. So of course, when Dean came down, I was like, I'm going to pick the guy in the relationship that I really think that there's a future here. Even though it was like terrifying and scary, and I was like, he could dump me in 2 days and realize like this isn't right, but it just made more sense.
And I just want to say something real quick, and I'm probably gonna get in trouble for this, but one of the reasons that Kaylin was so interested in Connor is because a friend of hers told her how great they would be as a couple and how excited they would be to go on double dates with them. Right. And yes. So, like, you get this thing ingrained in your head where it's like, oh, yeah. One of your good friends is dating a guy who has vouched for this guy who he's never met, but he thinks he's a good guy. And I'm not saying that Connor's not a good guy, because I think he absolutely is. But I think that one of the reasons that you got so excited to meet Connor, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the reasons you were so excited is because you let your friends build him up in your head. They didn't know him. They had, like, a perception of him. And then you kind of, like, in your head were like, wow, this guy is great, based off of absolutely nothing.
No, absolutely. And it was like them building it up for months and like kept telling me, oh, the producers are like waiting to match you up, or the producers think you guys are going to be so great, and I think you guys are going to be so great. And it was like, you guys haven't met them. I haven't met him. And yeah, it was like built up to be this like fairy tale romantic thing. And it just wasn't that. It was that with Dean, which I wasn't expecting, especially since I had DM'd him and we tried that. And yeah.
And for the record, we both like Connor. I think Connor's not a bad guy.
It's just like he's not my person.
Yes. And yeah, exactly. But yeah, Connor never stood a chance. I'm sorry,
never
but like
stood a chance.
we remember Christina. It's like, come on, have you ever met Dean before? Obviously not, if you think you still have a chance in this situation.
We'll just go through a couple of headlines. Hannah Brown has announced that she's on a dating app and she wants someone that has their crap together. What does it mean to have their crap together?
I would say to have over 1 million Instagram followers.
I mean, she dated or was engaged to Jed. So, yeah, someone who's not him.
I think, okay, here's my take on having your crap together. I think anyone that's looking for someone to have their crap together, it's a prerequisite to set yourself up for failure, because having your crap together is not a personality trait. It's not a reason for someone to like someone else. Like, if you like someone solely because they have their crap together, then your interests are so misaligned. It's like what she needs to find, and again, I know I've met Hannah. I don't know her very well. What she needs to find is just someone that she can like enjoy living like. Hannah's going to be fine. Whether she's by herself or whether she's with someone, she's going to be fine, obviously. She's got like this great star potential. She's the former Bachelorette, Dancing with the Stars champion, like all these things. Like, she doesn't necessarily need to find someone with their crap together. She needs to find someone that she like enjoys spending her time with, because that's what she's going to be doing for the next 60 years. So I think finding someone with their crap together, I don't have my crap together. My crap is so far torn apart. Like, it's the worst crap ever. That's like the most diarrheal piece of crap you could ever possibly find. But like, we still, like, maybe if you talked to Kaylin 2 years ago, she probably would say she wants someone with their crap together. But it turns out it took someone that didn't have their crap together to really, like, say, to like make the relationship work. So I hate hearing that, because it's not, that's such a poor prerequisite to a relationship.
No, I agree. And when you were saying that, I was thinking, like, what I was looking for 2-3 years ago was, like, what you think of in the South, you know, the typical Southern relationship, which might be what she's still looking for. And then I found Dean, and I was like, wait, I'm not meant for this, like, cookie cutter business, like, dating, married to a business guy. And it's just so different. And I feel like when she says crap together, that's kind of what she means, is like kind of what we from the South always thought we would have, which it's not all it's cracked up.
And for the record, sidebar, I do have a business degree from an accredited 4-year university. So, you know, there's always the fallback potential there for me to get my crap together. But once the tube gets out of the toothpaste, it's a little bit harder to put, or the toothpaste gets out of the tube, it's a little harder to get put back in.
So. But I get where she's coming from leaving the Bachelorette, because the Bachelorette, you deal with these guys and all their jobs are former football player, blogger, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like this. And I think that she wants, to me, having their stuff together is having a job and having a place to live without roommates. That's how I would say it personally. I agree with you, Dean, that you do not have your stuff together, and still you have found of someone, and that's fantastic. But I don't think you would fall under
her
category.
Mark, I appreciate you weighing in, and I'm going to retort it real quick. I don't think she wants someone with a job, because if I was dating someone with a job, I would agree. I'm different, because I would actually like that, because I would get 40 to 60 hours a week by myself. But I think if Kaylin was dating someone with a job, she wouldn't like it, because we like spending time together, because both of us like have the freedom of not having to be in an office from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I don't necessarily think Hannah would thrive. Again, not knowing much about her, I don't think she would thrive with someone that has like the 9-to-5, you know, business financial advisor type job sort of thing. Because she, in my informed opinion, she would want to like be spending time with this person. She would want to like have the ability to like go places and do these things. But you can't do that with someone that quote unquote has their shit together. I don't know.
Maybe, but I think we're also projecting our relationship and things that think everyone wants what we have, which I don't think everyone wants what we have.
I mean, yes, we're definitely projecting here, but I guess my point is, it's like, I think that maybe she's saying that because she thinks that's kind of like what you said. She thinks she needs to say that, so she's saying it. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Hannah in a relationship down the line with someone like more in like the Hollywood scene. That's,
I think,
not
like a country music singer. I could travel with him.
I could see her being with like the star of a television show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's still shit together, I suppose. But
yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Yeah. Podcast host. yeah. Blogger, sure. Why not? I don't know. But yeah, that's our take on it, I guess.
Okay, so Derek Peth is 33 and engaged to Saffron Vader, who is 23, after 1 year of dating. What are your thoughts?
Derek is engaged to a girl named Saffron after a year of dating. I saw this the other day, and I don't really have many thoughts on it. Derek seems like a nice guy. He obviously kind of jumped the gun before getting engaged to Taylor pretty early on in their relationship. That obviously did not work out. You never want to say like someone's got a history of getting engaged prematurely. The age difference probably is a little like concerning to a lot of people, but like, who the heck knows? I think whenever I see one of my peers from the show, especially get engaged with someone, like the first instinct is always like, oh, you're so happy for them. It's fantastic. You never like wish ill will upon anyone. I don't think this case is any different. Like, obviously I hope Derek and his fiance, are able to make it work, but it's just such an interesting time, 2020, where it's like, you see all these engagements, you see all these relationships, they get publicized so quickly. they progress so quickly and then they implode so quickly. And I don't think that's going to happen with Derek. I hope it doesn't happen. But it's just like kind of unfortunate for everyone involved that like the expectation for it is to happen. And like, if it doesn't happen, then everyone is like surprised, like pleasantly surprised. So, I hope that we are all pleasantly surprised and I hope that they make it the distance. I don't know. I'd have never met her. I haven't talked to Derek since Paradise. So that's my 30,000 foot overview of the whole situation. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, when you said 2020, it's weird. People dating in 2020 right now, it's kind of like The Bachelor, but for a much longer period of time where you're living with this person, you're stuck with this person where you wouldn't be normally because you're likely working from home and you've just got way more time. So maybe because of that, that's why.
But also engaged. On the flip side of that, like, yes, there's a pro side to that, a positive, but there's also a big like negative side to, let's say you start dating someone in February, like at the height, at the beginning of COVID lockdowns, et cetera. It's like the only dimension that you know this person in is through like the lens of working from home for the past 7 months and spending all this time together. But when things like get back to normal and restore, and like, let's say Saffron has to, she's an international model. Let's say she has to go to London for a shoot for 2 months and they can't spend every waking moment together. Like maybe things will start to deteriorate from there. I guess my point is yes, there are like many, there's many positive takeaways from like this, this lockdown and this like shelter in place type stuff. But there's also a lot of, cliffhangers and questions still to be answered, because it's like normalcy is going to be restored at some point, whether it's next year or the year after or whatever. And then when that happens, then what are you going to do? Because they go back to doing what they need to do to survive. You go back to doing what you need to do to survive. And that's very different than what you've been doing that's proven to be successful. But will it be successful moving forward?
It's kind of like quarantine puppies. Like they don't know how to socialize. And not to compare relationships to that, but like you go back to normal and suddenly your dog doesn't know how to socialize. And then in relationships, quarantine relationships, suddenly you're doing things and hanging out with your friend and you're not with them 24/7. And there's a lot of codependency that has been developed and might not be super great.
Codependency is huge. And I always try to pull away from the codependency. I hate codependency. I think it's one of the worst things you could ever possibly get into.
No, I do agree with that though.
And so in our situation, obviously we've been fortunate in the sense that we started dating middle of 2019. So we had, I would say, 8 months of dating. Well, we had like 6 months of dating. I broke my leg and then we had 2 months and then COVID hits and then it's been 8 months from there. So whatever. So we've kind of, us two have gone through a lot of things. But I do think that there are still times where you and I, Kaylin and I, are like, okay, we're going to like, not like pull back, but like we've spent too much time together. So I'm going to go away for a weekend. I'm going to do this for a week and then I'll see you when I get back type of thing. And I think that's healthy because that's kind of more, that's like more realistic as to what normal life is going to be like rather than just being cooped up. Like in our situation too, and I'm sorry, all these tangential things, if I was, let's say the past 8 months were taken as a sample for Dean Unglert's life within, you know, COVID and quarantine and all these things, I would look so, so bad because all I've done for the past 8 months is sit on my butt and play Call of Duty and play golf 4 times a week. And in my opinion, that's not who I am. In my like vision of myself, that's not who I am. So I don't think that if I were to have started dating someone 8 months ago, well, those were the only things that I've done, it wouldn't be an accurate representation of myself. And so that's my one concern. That's my one hesitation to all of these quarantine relationships. But like I said, and like Kaylin said, we hope nothing but the best for our friend Derek Peth. So anyways, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. We were so blessed today to have the wonderful and incredible Kaylin Miller Keys on the podcast as a co-host. It's so funny to me because we we had Kaylin as a co-host today, and I feel like all I did today was talk.
That's how our relationship is. That's how life is.
You think I talk more than you do in this relationship?
Okay.
No. But, yeah. No, that's not the case. I I don't know, maybe I just feel like a responsibility to talk more because I don't want you to feel like you have to.
You're just doing such a good job. I don't want to interrupt.
Yeah, that's very kind of you. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. If you can't wait to get any more of Kaylin, be sure to check out her YouTube channel, KaylinMillerKeys.youtube.com, whatever it is. And thank you to Jared for taking the week off. As always, he is slacking and I am just putting this show on my back and doing my absolute best to carry us to the promised land. Next week, we are talking to Caleb and Justine from Love Island. You're not going to want to miss that interview because they are fantastic and they are seemingly still going strong. So tune in for that. We're going to have Jared back. I'm going to be back as well. So we look forward to seeing you next week where maybe we will suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help! I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.